Good morning and welcome to the Word for Life broadcast. My name is Pastor Steve Sowers in for Pastor Greg Huffman. And over the next several broadcasts together, we're going to be looking at 1 Samuel chapter 4. And we're going to title this study together, Precepts or Pain. Now, as we look at 1 Samuel chapter 4, I think in order for us to understand this chapter, we need to understand the principle behind what we're about to see in this text. And I believe Proverbs 13, verse 13, really sums it up well when it says this: "He who despises the word will be destroyed, but he who fears the commandment will be rewarded." So the principle that we're going to see in 1 Samuel 4 is this idea that whoever hates and disregards God's instruction will pay for it. There are consequences. But whoever respects, honors, and loves the commands of the Lord is rewarded. Now, if you don't obey God's precepts and instructions on the front end, be sure that it will affect you on the back end. There will be pain. It's the idea that there is an easy way or there is a hard way. Isn't that true? I mean, do we see examples of this in Scripture of people who showed absolute disregard for the message of God to the point where it brought pain? I can think of one by the name of Jonah. I mean, think about this man. God says, "Take my message to Nineveh," and his first response is no. His second response is to run. His third response is no, and then a giant fish comes, and all of a sudden he's like, "Okay, Lord." It took some pain and consequences for him to come to that point of obedience. We think of the Israelites. And it's more like, well, how many times? There was that time in Egypt. There are those times in the wilderness where they would not obey God and he brought consequences. And eventually they would obey him. So what about the other side of the coin? We see evidences in Scripture of those who disregard God's word, which brings pain. But how about, do we see examples of people who listen and obey and love the commands of God and it leads to reward? How about Joseph? How about Job? How about Joshua? We could sit here and list many others who had a love for God's word and it led to great blessing. And this is the contrast that we will see in 1 Samuel chapter 4. And it's going to be seen in a variety of ways, one most notably through the relationship between Eli, his sons, and Samuel. Up to this point in the book of 1 Samuel, Eli and his sons had a complete disregard for God and his word. And because they were the spiritual leaders of Israel, and they had a disregard for God's word, so did the people of God. And what we'll see is that leads now to corruption and destruction. It's exactly what the principle teaches. But on the other side of the coin, we will notice Samuel over the next several chapters in the book, who represents someone who listens and obeys God's word, who eventually leads these people to joy and victory in the coming years. So with that principle in mind, let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 1. And it says, "And the word of Samuel came to all of Israel." Now, I believe that this verse is connected to the end of chapter 3, where it reads, "So Samuel grew in the Lord, and he was with him, and the Lord let none of his words fall to the ground. And all of Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord." So at this point in Samuel's life, he's elevated as a prophet of God, and he brings God's message to his people. And that message was to abandon their idols and to repent. So in the beginning of this chapter, we see that Samuel is God's man with God's message. Now, the question is, did the people listen? Do they disregard God's word or do they love God's word? Now, an interesting observation is right in the beginning of 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 1, we see Samuel's name mentioned, but he's not mentioned the rest of chapter 4. He's not mentioned at all in chapter 5. He's not mentioned in chapter 6. He's not mentioned again until chapter 7, verse 3. Now, I believe that symbolizes that the people did not listen to him. They did not receive his message. And it was during this time period that we see a lot of corruption and destruction. Some people believe they didn't listen to his message because he was young. Others believe it was because of his message and they didn't want to repent. But we don't see Samuel mentioned again until chapter 7, verse 3. And it's not until after all of the sin and all of the loss that comes through the children of Israel's disobedience. Listen to what these verses say in chapter 7. Then Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, "If you return to the Lord with all your hearts and put away the foreign gods and the Asherahs from among you and prepare your hearts for the Lord and serve him only, he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines." And in verse 4, we see that they put away the Baals and the Asherahs and served the Lord only. It wasn't until after all the pain, the heartache, and the loss that they finally listened and obeyed. So what we see in 1 Samuel 4, 5, and 6 is Israel has a complete disregard for the word of God. And through our principle, what it teaches is that that leads to pain, that pain led to loss, and that loss led to sorrow. So how eventually did the children of God go from the pit to the mountaintop? It was through obedience and repentance. Now, is this true for us? If we disregard God's word and we do our own thing, will it lead to pain, sorrow, and correction from the Lord? Absolutely. But if we strive to walk humbly with God and obey his commands, there is great reward. And through the rest of this book, we will see that this principle holds true through the book of Samuel. You've seen it in chapter 1 through Hannah and Peninnah. We see it in several chapters between Eli and Samuel. And in the future, you will see it between Saul and David. But verse 1 continues. Now Israel went to battle against the Philistines. They had encamped beside Ebenezer, and the Philistines encamped in Aphek. And we see that there is a battle that is about to go on. And I want us to notice something. Israel is in battle, and it's a just cause. They were supposed to fight the Philistines, right? God had given them the land. It's a just cause. They should win, right? But verse 2 reveals something. Then the Philistines put themselves in battle array against Israel. And when they had joined the battle, Israel was defeated. Now, why didn't Israel win? Wasn't their cause just? The reason they didn't win is that there was sin in the camp. Now, what have we seen up to this point? If you've studied the book of 1 Samuel in the first three chapters, what you notice is that their spiritual leaders are corrupt. Hophni and Phinehas and Eli were wicked. They had no reverence for God. They were worshiping idolatry. There was religious prostitution. If you wanted to define it this way, everyone was doing right in their own eyes. Now, remember that Israel is under the old covenant, and God told them, if you will not go after other gods, if you honor me and uphold my commandments, not perfectly, but that's why we have the sacrificial system, but if you seek me and do as I tell you, then I will be there to bless you economically, materially, and militarily. But if you don't, there will be pain. So through the Old Testament covenant, God made it clear that if you lose a battle, it's your fault. There is sin in the camp. We've seen it before in the book of Joshua when the Israelites take over Jericho and they were supposed to offer the whole city up as a sacrifice to the Lord. But there was a man named Achan, whose name means trouble, who took some things for himself and hid them in his tent. And they went to fight Ai, and Israel was greater in number, but they lost. And Joshua falls down on his face before the Lord, and the Lord says, get up. You know the reason you lost is there's sin in the camp. Repent, make it right, or you will not win. So this is not something new to the Israelites. They knew that if they lost a battle, they should look at their own sinful hearts. But where do they put the blame? In verse 3, what we see is that when the people had come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, why has the Lord defeated us? Notice who they blame. They don't look at their own sinful hearts. They don't repent of their own sinful deeds. They blame it on God. They're living in sin, yet they're blaming God for their circumstances. Do we ever do that? Do we ever ignore God's word, live however we want, And then as a result, when it brings pain, we blame God for it. Think of our families, for example. The scripture says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. That sounds different than husbands demand respect. The scriptures tell us, wives, submit and respect your husbands. That sounds different than wives, challenge your husband's authority with every decision. The scripture is clear when it tells children to obey their parents in the Lord, for this is right. That sounds different than mom and dad know nothing. And we sit back and we ignore God's instruction about how our family should function. And as our families are crumbling, we hold our fist up to heaven and say, God, why is my family falling apart? Why are you allowing this to happen instead of looking at our own disobedience and sin? If our families operated as the scripture said, they would be healthy and whole. But yet 50% of Christian families are crumbling. That's the same thing we see with the children of Israel. They are ignoring God's instruction, and it leads to pain, and yet they blame God. Notice what else we don't see in verse 3 is there's no sign or talk of repentance. Their solution instead is if we just bring the ark, this good luck charm, into the battlefield, then we'll win. It communicates this idea of a rabbit's foot or a good luck charm. Matthew Henry describes Israel's attitude about the ark this way. It's a shell without a kernel. I mean, the ark wasn't just something where God was there with them to the Israelites. It was this idol that they began to worship. And that's not what it was intended to be. So we see in verse 4, they go to get the ark, but notice who's carrying the ark back to the battle site. So the people sent to Shiloh that they might bring from there the ark of the covenant of the Lord of hosts, who dwells between the cherubim, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the ark of the covenant. You know what's amazing is look who's bringing the ark. It's the blind leading the blind. These spiritual leaders who had a complete, absolute disregard for God are the ones who are bringing God, apparently, to the battlefield so that they could win. They're going through the motions. Their attitude isn't that they needed God. Their attitude is they wanted to use God. And this is exactly what we see in the hearts of the Israelites here. It's what our principle reveals. They had a disregard for God. Therefore, it leads to pain. It leads to consequences. So my question for you today is, where is your heart? Where is your heart? Are you just going through the motions? Are you blaming your circumstances on God? Perhaps you should look at your own heart. Rest and trust in the Lord's sovereign plan in your life. And remember the principle that if we disregard God's word, it will always lead to pain. Think about that today. Join us next time on The Word for Life.